And we do get a message from God this morning. This passage that we're going to be in is Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 13. And at the beginning part of this is the well-known, everybody here probably memorized it long ago, the Lord's Prayer, the Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. And so I don't want to skim over it just because it's a familiar passage. I don't want to just glance and lightly talk about it because there's some things in here that we need to reimagine and relearn. So sermons usually can have a couple of points. They have a purpose. You know, one type of sermon could be to talk about doctrine or theology. Another one could be to talk about faith. Well, this one I want to talk about is prayer, but specifically prayer and action together. So today we're going to learn how to pray. How to pray and change the world. So how do we pray? Do we know how to pray? These are questions I want us to think about this morning. So we just sang a beautiful song about the Lord's Prayer and using this text that we have today. And we see immediately in chapter 11, it says, they're talking about Jesus here, so when it says he there, it says Jesus was praying in a certain place. Immediately, the story begins with Jesus praying. Throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus separates himself to pray, to ask God. Over and over, we hear that. Jesus prays, Jesus prays, Jesus prays. Here again, Jesus is praying. And one of the disciples comes to him and asks, or said to him, says, Lord, teach us to pray, as John has taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, and then he says the prayer, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day your daily bread, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into temptation. Powerful words given by Jesus. This is how we pray. So when was the last time that I prayed like that? Immediately at the first thing, we see how Jesus addresses God. It's his Father. Father is a term of intimacy. It's a term of love. The unconditional love between a parent and a child. That's how Jesus approaches God, the Father. Do you address God? Do I address God with that such intimacy and love coming into the presence of God that way? Maybe sometimes. Sometimes I pray, oh God, just give me this, or oh, help me this day. It's going to be a rough day and I need some help. And it's just kind of an afterthought that I'm entering into the presence of God the Father. There is love, intimate love, between Jesus and God in this instance. And then following in the prayer, Jesus gives five things here for us to think about. First, hallowed be your name. holy is your name, whatever your translation might say. We have to acknowledge the holiness of God. God is holy, and we should know that, and we should acknowledge that in our prayers. The holiness of God. We can't just approach God without understanding who God is. God is holy. We are coming into the presence of a holy God. And we should act like it. Our prayers should reflect the holiness of God. Second, your kingdom come. That should be a familiar phrase to us, the kingdom of God, because we are in Luke, and Luke loves talking about the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, kingdom of God. Throughout all the stories that we've heard so far, it's a key point. And here again, in this prayer, it comes up again. The kingdom come. So what does that mean? The kingdom of God to come here amongst us today. That's what Jesus is saying. Pray that the kingdom comes now. Let us be the ones that bring that with our prayers. Let's be those agents of change in the lives of people because we are praying for the kingdom. We're not just praying for our needs and our wants. We are praying for the kingdom to come. We have been changed by the kingdom, haven't we? Why not pray for that change to come to all the world? And let us be the ones bringing it. Further on in this part here, you know, verses 5 through 13, it talks about the persistence of prayer. You pray and you pray and you pray, you ask, you ask, you ask, you seek, you knock. That's what praying with persistence. And I want to ask a question here. Who here has a friend? Okay? Here's another question. Who here knows somebody? Do you know somebody? So, when our friends come to us in need, that's what talks about in verse 5 through 8, and the persistence of this friend. And it's also talking about continuously asking and asking and asking, almost nagging. You know, it says here that the guy will not give the loaf of bread because he's your friend. It's because he nags. He's persistent. He keeps knocking. Please, 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 please give me some bread. I had a friend in college. He was a few years older than me, but he was in my fraternity. And before I knew him, actually, a year before I joined, it was Christmas break. And he got into a terrible car accident. Life-threatening. He was in critical condition. And later, after I met him, he told me about this car accident. He told me that when he saw it coming and lost control of his vehicle, he thought he was going to die. He thought, oh, this is it. This is the end. I'm done. He was very badly injured. He was in critical condition for days. But I tell you this story because of what happened with his friends.
He got in the accident, and as soon as he got to the hospital, there was one phone call made to another guy in my fraternity. And within 4 hours, everybody, all of his friends, were back in Abilene, where I'm from, at the hospital. Immediately, they left on the 23rd of December, Christmas break, with their parents. They left, dropped everything, and went to my friend Lee's side in the hospital. My friend Jason was one amongst this group. And about 12 hours, he tells me the story, about 12 hours after they got to the hospital, they're back to Abilene, he leads over to my other buddy and says, "Hey, I have a question. How long will a game of Super Mario Brothers stay paused?" If you know what Super Mario Brothers is, it's for you youngins, that's before PlayStation, that's before Xbox. But he was playing and he got a phone call and he dropped the controller, left the TV on, the Super Nintendo on, and left immediately. Because his friend was in need. As soon as he heard. How about many of us have that friend? Know somebody comes to us in need, and what is our response? Also, where I'm from, in Texas, we have a grocery store there called H-E-B. For those who are from Texas or know about Texas, you know about H-E-B. It's a great store. It's a big grocery store, and it's got really good stuff. But every year in Abilene, they organize a community-wide meal where they serve the people of the community. Now, I'm very familiar with this because Alicia, she worked for the United Way, and so it was her job to organize the volunteers for this meal. So what does that mean? I'm number one volunteer. So, which is great. I loved it and I enjoyed it. So every year they do this and over 500 volunteers come to serve a meal to the residents of Abilene, Texas. And every year they serve between 8,000 and 10,000 people in 4 hours. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Feeding of a large group of people in a short amount of time. I think we just read about that one earlier, a few weeks ago. Every year I saw how the event impacted the community. That was a miracle. One year I was in the food service line serving gravy. So I'd get a plate of meat and mashed potatoes and vegetables, and it was my job to scoop a spoonful of gravy onto the mashed potato for 4 hours. That's what I did. It was great. It was a blast. Every time the bowl of gravy was almost empty, I said, "Hey, I need some more gravy." And another person comes with a big tub and dumps it back in there. The food multiplied. They kept coming. And at the end, we had leftovers. I don't know how much, maybe 12 baskets full. But we had leftovers because they cared about the people, the volunteers. It was a powerful, powerful image of people serving and meeting the needs of the people around us. I say this because we all know somebody here in Skopje, Macedonia, in need, in desperate need. What are we doing? What am I doing? Jeff Lee, what am I doing to help the needy around me? What am I doing to heal the pain and hurting around me? Am I bringing the kingdom of God? Is it coming near because of what I'm doing. Right now, in Macedonia and Skopje, there are 400 refugees living in an asylum center north of Šutka. These refugees come from Syria, Middle East, they come from Africa, they come from war-torn countries, and they are, have no place to go. They've come up the railways from Thessaloniki, make it to Skopje, and then they get stuck. They can't go back, they can't go forward. I met one guy there who has been there for 8 months, and there's no end in sight of how long he's going to be there for. What am I doing to help? What can I do to help those in need? Are we answering the knock on our door? No, I'm in bed. I'm asleep. My kids are with me. Because that's what this person answers to the guy in need. He says, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up or give anything to you." Is that our answer to those around us in need? So let's go back to the prayer for just a moment and see what else is there for us today. Verse 3, "Give us each day our daily bread." When we pray for our needs to be met. I'm pretty confident that I know what I need, right? I need food, I need clothes, I need a house or a roof. I need this thing or I need that thing. And so when I pray for my needs, is that what I'm praying for? Is that what I should be praying for? Or should I be praying for what God knows my needs to be? That's giving us each day our daily bread. We pray for what sustains us every day. Every day. That's the prayer that God has given us, is for us to pray for what we need that day. Not worrying about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Pray for today. The next thing in the prayer, we see verse 4, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." Now this is important. I want you to listen to this. This is important for us. Forgive as we forgive. These two things are connected. They cannot be separated. We are forgiven. We forgive. We forgive. We are forgiven. Forgive. Forgive. God is calling us to be merciful in forgiving others because we have been forgiven. Forgiven of what? Our sins. I have an experiment that we're going to try this week. So I want you to think of somebody. Think of a person. Or a group. Or anybody, really. That might have wronged you. Might have hurt you in some way. Or maybe just somebody that you disagree with on. I know right now we're in the middle of, in the United States, we're in the middle of NFL playoffs. My team is out. But I'm going to be praying for for the fans of the other teams.
Yeah.
So, some don't believe me. So. But something as simple as that, but even deeper, something that really, truly, you cannot get over. Something that sticks to you so hard that you're like, I can't do this. I cannot pray for this person because of this reason. You have that person in mind? You have that person right now? Good. This week, every day, multiple times a day, pray for that person. Pray for that person. And after a week, see how your feelings change. Let's think about what would change in my life, in our lives, if we do that. Some might say, well, I can't pray for somebody I hate. I have to like them first. That's not true. Pray for them anyway and see how your feelings change over that week. So what does that mean? That if we pray because we are forgiven and we forgive sins of those who have hurt us, are indebted to us, disagree with us, maybe hate us, we forgive them. That's powerful. This prayer here can change lives. Not just my life, but the life of people around us. This prayer has that power. Use it. The last part of this prayer is leading us. We ask God to lead us, guide us. Not into temptation. Lead us away from our temptations, away from our trials, away from the things that cause us to stumble. Lead us toward God and away from our troubles, our trials, our temptations. How do we do that? How do we ask God to lead us? So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. What are we asking for? After church today, many of you will go home or go to a restaurant to eat lunch. You'll get a menu and you'll ask for something. I want this. I want that. Scarva or kebabs. Or if you go to Burger King, you could have it your way, right? So I want it my way, I want it this way. Is that what I'm asking for? Is something off a menu? Or if I go to the grocery store with a checklist. I need the milk, I need eggs, I need bread, I need cheese, I need all these things. And you might come out of the grocery store with two baskets full of stuff. But it's only still minute percentage of what's available in the grocery store. So when I ask, am I only asking for the things I want or the things I need? Seeking. Seeking you'll find. So what am I seeking? This is a very important question, because we need to just rediscover what to seek. This is my opinion, that I think the church as a whole, not just ICS, but the church as a whole, I think sometimes we have forgotten what we need to be seeking. We seek out selfishly. We seek out what we want. When we pray, everybody in here has prayed this prayer. Everybody in here has prayed, Lord, help me do this better. Help me with this. Help me with that. Okay, those things that you're asking for are good, but again, it's about me. What God is asking us to pray about Him. Sometimes we don't seek the right things. Knocking. What door are we knocking on? This is not a game show. Behind door number one, you have this. Do you want to risk and open door number two, or do you want to keep what you have in door number one? It's not that kind of doors. Again, it is something that is beyond us. Something that we do not understand. But God is calling us and telling us to knock, and the door will be open. So what, Jeff? What does that mean? How do I do that? Verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give, listen, will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's what we're asking for. That's what we're seeking. That's what we're knocking on for is the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. Great. Yes, give me the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, we have to give in to the Holy Spirit 100%. Our whole lives. The Holy Spirit is the gift that is given to us by God. And again, we don't take what we want. We don't, okay, this is a grocery store. I want a can of corn, some mashed potatoes. I do not want green beans. No, it's all of God. All of the Holy Spirit wants all of us. Amen. Together, all of it. Alicia makes this wonderful soup called caldo. It's Mexican stew. It's great. One of the great things about it is it's got everything in it. It's got meat. It's got vegetables. It has corn and carrots and potatoes and all. Just dump it in there. And then it's served with bread and spices. And so it's got everything in it. And it's all cooked over a long period of time. So all the juices and the spices and the flavors of the different things all mixed together. You cannot separate them. The Holy Spirit has come into us, and you cannot separate it from us anymore. We are full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants all of us. We pray that prayer. Now that prayer is a prayer of action. It's a prayer that changes the world. It's a prayer that focuses on the kingdom of God coming here and now. And it is that Spirit the Holy Spirit that is the tool which empowers us to bring that kingdom of God here in Skopje, Macedonia, in Europe, in the world. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us that power. It only comes from our asking for it. Now, you take this, you have it right here. You don't have to take my word for it. Somebody might think, well, yeah, no, I don't know about that. You have an advantage that the first century church didn't have. You have the scripture right here, or right here, depending on your preferred way of reading it. Or a big tablet that's like this big. But you have it. Read it. Use it. But let it change your lives. Because this prayer changes our lives. This is the Lord's Prayer. During Christmas, we learned about Mary's prayer. We learned about Zechariah's psalm. We know the prayers of David and the books of Psalms. We know the prayers of all these people. But you know what this is? This is the Lord's Prayer. Let it change our lives today. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into temptation. Amen.
Sing this song again. It wasn't in the plan, but it just feels right. Let's sing this to the Lord. From